The Lord's good to us, isn't He? Amen. I'm glad, too, we finally have some people that can sing, you know? I try to. It never seems to work right, but it'll be all right. My best singing's in the shower. Nobody else can hear me, and they don't make fun of me too much. So when I sing in the car, I always get made fun of. I wake my kids up in the middle of the night singing, and they ask me to please stop. You know, they don't even hint about it. I could take a hint, you know. They just blurt it out. Dad, we can't sleep. You know how it is. Amen. Turn with me to James chapter number 1. And let's stand to our feet tonight in honor of God's word. James chapter number 1. Verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I want to preach tonight on this thought, count it all joy. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and we know you love us. Thank you for that love. And I thank you for your word. The next few moments that we have together, I pray, would be pleasing to thee. Help me as I stand to preach. Lord, may I preach with the spirit you'd have me to preach with that unction, that enabling. Lord, I pray that Christ would be lifted up, and I pray that our hearts would be stirred. And if there be one here tonight that's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the night. Lord, I pray that you'll help those of us that are saved to get stronger in our faith, to have an understanding of your plan and your will for our life. And Lord, we'd gladly serve thee. Lord, we'll thank you for what you accomplish. And we give this time to thee. When all is said and done, I pray, Father, that you'll be well pleased. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. James, and it identifies who he is here in this book, this epistle of James. And he talks to the 12 tribes, and he calls them my brethren. I like that. I believe when someone is saved, a real Christian, a real Christianity has something that brings people together, and we realize that we're all part of the family of God. Everyone that's been born of the Spirit is our brother or sister in Christ. We all face the same burdens and the same trials. They may come from different avenues. They may hit us in different ways and at different times. But we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we've been redeemed by the blood. Everybody that's part of the family of God has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved by the blood. There's no other way to be a part of the family other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about these things, we see that James is writing, of course, to the 12 tribes. He's writing to these Jewish believers. But we find that there could be application to us because some of the things that he's saying, it applies to all believers. And we have an understanding of that. So when we look at this, we realize that when we talk to our Heavenly Father, it's the same Heavenly Father they had. When we think about what their Heavenly Father could do, that's the same Heavenly Father that can do for us. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and we read the book of James, I think we can be greatly encouraged. Now, it's not teaching the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. We're brothers and sisters because we have the same Father. You understand that, right? And a person that's never been saved, their father's still the devil, right? You either belong to God or you belong to the devil. You say, well, I don't like that terminology. Well, you know, there's no gray matter here. It's all black and white. You're either saved or you're lost. You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. God is your father or the devil is your father. There's no two ways about it. So we have that understanding, and there's no middle of the fence in all this. So we see here that James is writing to this 12 tribes, and he's encouraging them and helping them. And in this first chapter, James is dealing with something that's familiar to those people, but I think it's familiar to us. He's dealing with temptations and trials. And I'm going to tell you, We still are facing temptations and trials, aren't we? We're still fighting the battles. We're still going through all these things. But James is writing, and he's trying to cheer these folks up and to cheer us up, because he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now notice he says, when you fall into, not jump into, right? I believe some Christians are trying to jump into diverse temptations. But he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We understand this is a part of the Christian's life. You may not be going through a trial like that right now, but somebody is. And if they're our brother or sister in Christ, we need to encourage them and to help them and to be there for them. And the message of the gospel is a message about the joy and the gladness of eternal life and the assurance that we have that no matter what goes on in this world, there's a better day ahead. And I'm glad tonight that we can take hold of that, and we can be blessed by the truth that there is a better day ahead. But along the way, we need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, as the Bible says. And the joy and gladness that we have in our life, sometimes it's darkened by these trials. Sometimes it seems like these trials and temptations come along just at the wrong time, and we think everything's going all right, and then something happens, and boy, it just knocks our feet out from under us, doesn't it? But the Bible says we're going to fall into these things. The Bible says these are just part of our lives. These are things that's going to take place. And there's three things I want you to look at tonight, hopefully that'll be a blessing to you, to help you to understand about these trials and temptations, and to realize that we can count it all joy. And as the Bible says there, the last part of verse number 4, that we don't have to want, we can want nothing. And that's something great when you think about it. So there's three things I want us to look at. I want you to see tonight that the point of attack. The point of attack. The Bible says in verse number 3 that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What we need to understand tonight is this, that our faith is going to be attacked in this world. It's something that we are not going to get out of. Our faith is the target that all the arrows of hell are shot at. Our faith is the thing that Satan is going to try to attack. And as our faith is tried, we have to realize that it's our faith that aggravates the devil the most. He doesn't like the fact that we put our faith and trust in the Lord. So he's going to attack our faith. He can't have our soul now. But what he can do is he can make us miserable in our Christian life. If you had no faith, then the devil wouldn't be such an enemy. But faith is that mark. It marks us as the saints of God. And see, when we think about this, we realize that the devil is the god of this world, right? He's the prince of the power of the air. You know, we understand this. He's real. He's not some fictitious character. He is real. He is the enemy of God, and he is the enemy of God's people. And the day that you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you came by grace through faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that our faith is to be looking unto Jesus. So what the devil's going to try to do, now that he cannot have our soul, he's going to attack our faith. And that's the point he's going to come at. He's going to bring trials and temptations into your life that's going to make you begin to doubt your faith. It's going to begin to think, you know, well, God's not really there for me, right? If you've not been there, you're going to be there sometime in your life. I've faced this, and most of you have faced this, if not all of us have faced this. Our faith, it's by our faith that we're saved. We've been justified. We've been brought near to God. And it's by believing in Christ that we're delivered from that power of sin that once had such a stronghold in our life. And we receive the power to become the sons of God, the Bible says. Faith is as vital to salvation as the heart is to the body. And Satan wants to attack our faith. It's the standard bearer. It's the object of the enemy that the enemy's going to come and he's going to try to tear down your faith. And we'll tell you, this is probably the weakest point in people's lives is when he starts to attack their faith. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. Think about it. It's by our faith we live. We began to live. We continue to live by it. It's the very thing that we hold on to more than anything else. We hold on to our faith in God. When everything seems to be falling apart around us, we say, I'm just going to trust in the Lord. And sometimes it just feels like it's just too heavy. I can't bear it anymore. And Satan sees that weakness and it begins to attack your faith. But James says, count it all joy. Why? Because God's going to prove some things. He's going to prove that your faith is real. He's going to prove that everything's going to be all right. The Bible says that the trying of your faith. So you see, the main point of attack is our faith. That's what the Bible says. We need to see the point of attack. The trying of your faith worketh patience. So we see the point of attack. The second thing I want you to see is the proof of assurance. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work. This is so hard. I have faith in the Lord, and it seems like things aren't going the way I want it to go. James says, here's what you got to do. You got to let patience have her perfect work. In other words, sometimes we have to wait on God. None of us like to wait. We all want answers, and we want it now. You know, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Right? The blessing gained by these trials and temptations that come our way is that when we come through it, and we will, it proves that we belong to somebody that has all power. The trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. The Bible says it is the perfect work. It's the work of God in our lives. It's a maturing work in our lives. It proves who we belong to. It's an assurance to us that God will see us through. And by the way, as bad as it may seem sometimes, when we really begin to realize that God is there for us, we'll be stronger. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. What God has done in the believer's heart, in the believer's life, is a perfect work. God doesn't do something temporary. It's something it's a permanent transaction. It's an eternal happening. When you're saved, you're saved. But the trial and the temptation is going to come. Look, you're not exempt. I don't care what the televangelists say. When you put your faith in the Lord, life doesn't get easier. I believe it gets a little bit more difficult as far as the world's concerned. Because the devil is now going to go after us. You know, when you listen to these guys and they say, you know, you give your life to the Lord, everything's going to be all right. But that's not true. We're going to fight the battles. The trying of our faith is there for a reason. It worketh patience. It helps us to learn that we have to wait on God sometimes. And we have to trust the Lord. Through whatever it is that He's allowed us to fall into, we have to wait on the Lord. We have to understand that patience will have her perfect work. In other words, it will work in us in such a way that it will strengthen us. It will make us more mature in the Lord. And this temptation and trial, it proves something in our life. There's so many other things that we gain through these experiences. How many of you have been what you felt like at the bottom of the barrel before? You felt like that you were so lost under the load that you weren't going to make it another day. And you thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. You tried every avenue that you possibly could. Every human ability you had, you tried to use that avenue. But then all of a sudden, you got to work. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. There was nothing humanly left that you could possibly do. And then you finally just fell to God. You came, as the psalmist said, to your wit's end. And then God began to work. And somehow you made it through what you thought you could not even live through. Somehow you made it through what you thought was the most terrible event that could ever come in your life. And when you got through that event, you began to see the work of God. Because all of a sudden your life changed. You were going down this avenue, and now you see you're going down a whole other avenue. You were headed in this direction because you thought this is what I'm supposed to do. But then the props got knocked out from under you. And then God begins to move in your life. And then all of a sudden, he puts you on this different road. And you begin to see when you waited patiently on the Lord, he proved himself to you in a great way. That's why James could say, count it all joy. Because many times it's just God working in your life to prove himself to you through these trials. This trial of faith, this point of attack is something that's there. But as you put your faith, as you just learn to rely on God, the proof of assurance is going to be there because God said he would see us through. He didn't say we wouldn't lose things along the way. He didn't say that we would come out having, as some preachers would have you think, having more money on the other side or having more prosperity on the other side. But I'll tell you what you will have. When you go through something like this and God proves himself, you'll have stronger faith than you've ever had in your life. Let patience have her perfect work is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the trials, it worketh patience. And I think, you know, we all understand that patience is a great need in our lives. Sometimes I need it to a much stronger degree than what I have, you know. Patience will accept the trials without all the murmuring. It'll bear the ill treatment. You know, when people say things, when you're trying to do what's right, trying to be right, and then somebody accuses you or, you know, says something hurtful, or patience will help you. It's God's working in our lives. And the trying of our faith worketh patience. It's willing to wait without unbelief. Because as we patiently wait on the Lord, we see how he's taking care of us through this. Because we're at the end of ourselves. We can't do anything about it. We've fallen into divers temptations. The trial of our faith is real. The point of attack is there. Then all of a sudden, we find ourselves just trusting the Lord. Nothing else to trust. We're trusting God. And patience keeps us believing without wavering. It reminds us that God's still on the throne. And that he promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. That he had promised he'd go with us through the deepest valleys, on the heights of the mountains, through the dark and dreary times of our life, and through the rays of sunshine. He said, I will always be there for you. And that's what we begin to see. We see as patience has her work. We see the point of attack, and then we see the proof of assurance. But then finally tonight, I want you to see the prize of the accounting. And I love this. The Bible says in verse number 4, once again, after it says, but let patience have her perfect work, it says, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I looked at this verse. You look at it. Think about what it says. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Hey, that's hard to swallow. Count it all joy? Why? Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, God's at work. The point of attack, Satan is attacking, but God's working. And then it goes on and it says the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then it says, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, we're learning some patience here. And as we do this, as we patiently trust the Lord, there's a prize. So that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James says, take an account here. Count it all joy. Get you a pencil out and just start writing it down. Sometimes I think when we're going through the trials and the temptations, what we ought to do is we ought to go back and we ought to look at the blessings of God in our life. And we start taking account how God's seen us through other difficulties. And then we start counting it all joy. And we begin to see how God is helping us through the trials and the temptations. We're going to put down these trials and temptations and we're going to, you know, to stop there. James says these trials are like fire. They're working in our lives. They burn up nothing in us but the dross. In other words, they're getting the impurities out. And sometimes that's what happens. God is purifying us. through trials and temptations. Now, he doesn't tempt. We know the devil's the tempter, but we understand. We fall into these temptations, but God takes the temptations and he allows them to try us, to make our trials, to burn out the dross in our life. You ever went through something and, you know, we've already talked about this, you didn't think he was going to make it through it, but then when you come out on the other side, you found your faith stronger and greater. You found that you felt like you could do more for the Lord then than you could before, because God uses this to burn out the impurities. God has to do this sometimes. God has to purge certain things out of our lives. And sometimes these temptations we fall into is because of us, because we've went down a direction we shouldn't go, or we've allowed things to come into our life, and then God has to work to get rid of some things in our life. This is, God works, but as we put our faith in God, God's going to take care of us. Just like he makes the gold more pure when he gets rid of all the impurities, he's going to make us more pure. And I believe one of the things that Christians need today is purity in their lives. That's the reason the world's in the shape it's in, is because Christians aren't as pure as they once were. Some of the things that we're seeing happen in the world, I believe a lot of this is going to bring on the trying of our faith. You think not? I think so. I mean, you've seen the news. China's building their military at a greater degree, and they're crying out for a one world currency now. We're seeing things happen where people of faith won't be able to speak as freely in certain instances about certain things. These are things that's difficult. But through this, God's going to see us through, because he promised us that we can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We see that. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So as we have this patience and we learn this patience, the Bible says we're going to come out on the other end perfect, which means more mature, more complete in these certain things, wanting nothing. And I believe the most valuable asset that a man can possess in this world is in the position of wanting nothing. Right now we want everything. You know, you've heard it said before, when you realize that God is all you have, you'll find that he's all you need. That's what we may be finding that out. This generation, it could be the next generation, but there's going to be a time when you personally, you're going to find out everything you thought was important was not so important. But when you find that you have God, you find you have all you need. And you realize you don't want so many other things. You want nothing. Just like the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Shall not want. Think about that. I shall not want. I shall not want for rest, because he maketh me lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside the still waters. He fills my cup to overflowing. He takes care of me. And he says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he closes it, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No wonder the psalmist, he found the secret. I don't want anything because I have everything. And sometimes the trying of our faith helps us to realize that we had what we needed all along. We just wasn't relying on it. Now we're letting this trying of our faith is working patience. And James says, let patience have her perfect work, so that you may be complete, so you may be a perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Being tempted and tried, we find our failures, don't we? We find our faults. When the fires come and they begin to burn the dross out, it's like all of a sudden all those little impurities begin to get magnified. And it starts boiling out of us. Because what happens sometimes when we get down on our knees, and we start looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, have I done something wrong here? Please forgive me of that. Lord, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me. Get that out of my... Lord, how about over here? That's what happens. Because you get to the end of yourself, and all of a sudden you're starting to look for everything, and you start realizing every fault you had. The trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of our faith burns out the impurities. There's a point of attack. There's a proof of assurance. But I want you to understand that, this Bible is teaching us that, as we have these things, that there is the prize of accounting that, is waiting on us. Because on the other side of the trial of our faith, as we let patience have her perfect work, we're going to find ourselves more complete, more entire, wanting nothing. You say you believe that? I have to believe it. Because that's what the Bible says. You say, do you understand it? Not all of it, but I believe it. I don't understand every trial that comes to the Christian's life, but I believe every trial has a purpose. I believe every fiery trial that we go through has a purpose and has a reason. And I wish I could just stand here and tell you this is why you're going through this, and this is why you're going through this, and this is why you're going through this, but I can't. Because this patience is, something between you and God. And as you let patience have her perfect work, God is going to begin to show you what you need to do in your life. When you get to the end of self, sometimes it's the greatest place in all the world that we could possibly be. It's not something we look forward to. I don't know that I've ever been to the end of myself. I really don't. I don't think I've been there. I've been close. But I don't know. I can't tell you what it's like. But I'm going to tell you something. I know some people in this room that's been to the end of themselves before, where they've lost everything. They thought they could. They thought they couldn't live any longer. They've lost houses. They've lost land. They've lost businesses. They've lost. They thought they couldn't make it. Somehow, they found that their faith in God was just as sure as He promised. And some of them's come through the other side. Some of them still working on the other, right in the middle of it. But there's going to be a time where they're going to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And the things that seem to be so important won't be quite as important. They're going to find out that God is everything that He says He is. I have to believe that. It could be tomorrow that I'm facing the end of myself or in the process of it. I want to tell you something. God's Word is our only thing we can hold on to. And when God's Word says it, you can bank on it. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Now, I pray that it's helped us tonight. Now, I don't know what everybody's going through. I know what some people's going through, and that's in the sound of, under the sound of my voice. Lord, You know what everybody's going through. And Lord, You know the diverse temptations that are there, and some of us have fallen into these. And Lord, some of us are going through the trying of our faith, some to the end of herself. Some have come out on the other side, maybe even facing more trials. But Lord, help us to see what Your Bible says, that we can count it all joy. Lord, it just don't make sense to me, but I believe it. I believe Your Word is so true. And tonight I pray that we would find refuge in this all-inspired book that You preserved for us. And that our faith would grow stronger, and we would let patience have a perfect work in our lives. Lord, help us to get out of the path of the worry, and Lord, help us to get into the path of faith. Lord, we're going to trust You with these things. For we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed.